me a letter about 10 years ago, I think it was. He had heard the broadcast on AM 1490 and had already begun to see some truth in the difference in the kingdom program and the grace program. And so a while later, Jerry and I went down and met with him and talked with him. And he was pastoring a Baptist church at that time. And you can imagine how that worked out without saying too much about it. But I appreciate a man that's willing to stand for the truth regardless of the cost. And you know, there's a lot of guys today that they call themselves grace believers, rightly dividing preachers. And yet they want to maintain that name and that shingle out front to attract people. Well, folks, it's not about attracting people. It's not about appeasing people. It's about standing for the truth. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Now, I don't know how long Brother Brian will be available to preach because I'm starting a campaign today to hire him as the defensive coordinator at Alabama. Because I believe he's the man that can handle the job. But see, I was always told, don't complain about somebody unless you're willing to do it. And so Brian was a little upset yesterday, and he said, fire him right now. So I thought, maybe Brian's going to take the job. I don't know. But anyway, they live down in Alabama on Sand Mountain, and I appreciate them coming, driving the long distance they do to be with us. And Brother Brian, looking forward to your message. Come on.
Yes, I say we fire him right now. If I was Saban, I would have gave him a ticket to fly back wherever he come from. Of course, that's just professionally speaking. That's fleshly there. I mean, so, but yeah, I did post that yesterday afternoon, and it's just so frustrating to watch sometimes, you know. And myself being involved in sports and things, and my son coaching football, you know, I'm involved in that and see things, and so. As a fan, I've got the right to complain, you know, and so that's just part of it. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm glad Brother Steve had thought enough for me to ask me to speak here again, and I appreciate that, Brother Steve. And he's right. You want to stand upon the grace and the grace of God, you'll be called on to take a stand. One way, form, or fashion, you'll be called on to take a stand for what the Word of God says, right, divided, and you believe what you believe. And that's a fact. I've done it. He's done it. Many of you have done it. If you haven't done it, well, then you're here today. It looks like you're on the right track there of doing something. But a lot of that's not happening today. A lot of men, a lot of folks will not make that decision. It takes courage to do this. It takes some strength to do this, some conviction. Some convincing, if you will, to stand upon the grace of God. There's a lot of grace messages, a lot of grace signs on a church, but there's very little grace understanding. Amen? So Romans chapter number 5 and then Romans chapter 4, if I could title this message, and then being my background as a minister, I've always been pretty good at titling messages. I just don't do it as much, but it's the grace wherein we stand. Brother Steve's been teaching on grace. And I just wanted to get in the boat and row with him on this and go on with it, okay? So Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of God. Amen? So Paul's talking about we stand upon this grace. Romans chapter 4, to go along with, I'd like to read the first few verses here. Verse 1, Romans 4. What shall we say then to Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wear the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And Paul uses the scripture as he often does, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So Paul puts this together, the forgiveness of sins and imputed righteousness, and that is all really the basis of God's grace being shown to us. Because this simply means that the justice of God, the righteousness of God was met by Christ at the cross. And it cannot be met on our part at all. Man cannot meet what God required. We have no righteousness. For us to be right before God is to come God's way, and God's way is to believe what He's done for you at Calvary upon the grace of God, the preaching of the cross, the reconciliation of the world, believing who Christ is and what He's done for you at Calvary, and God, you will be saved, and that happens only because God imputes His righteousness to the believer. Because we don't have none. We've never had. The Bible's plain. There's never been any righteousness. Not enough to get where God is to please God. But God's doing a different work today, as we'll see as we go on. It's believing and trusting God. Because Abraham did what? He just believed God. There's nothing else added to that. He believed God. In the same way today, if we believe God today, we're going to believe that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're going to believe that God was in Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5:19, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What happens if we don't accept what God's done for us? We don't believe what God said, and this righteousness got to be imputed to us by faith. What happens if we don't? Well, it's condemnation. That's the only thing left. You're condemned by not believing what God's done for you. He doesn't expect nothing from you but to believe what He is and what He's done for you by the finished work of Calvary. The justice of God was met by the blood of Christ. It removed the pain of sin. Sins, the wrath and condemnation of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It removed that death, that condemnation, that separation between us and the Lord. It removed that. And it removed the wrath of God at the same time. Look with me to Romans 5:9. Much more than being now justified by His blood. That's Christ's blood. That's very interesting. We're going to talk about that. Being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, the bringing together to God, how? By the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we're saved by His life. And not only so, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, the satisfaction that God has taken care of that sin and that debt, the satisfaction that the price has been paid, and God is satisfied with that. Therefore, it is by grace. It's by grace. If we have no work, if there's nothing we can do to be made right in God's eyes, but trust what He done for you through Christ at Calvary and by the resurrection from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ, it leaves nothing else to trust but the grace of God. That's all it leaves. Now, it's by grace. It's supplied by the Lord. It's offered by the Lord. It's been completed by the Lord. And it's delivered unto us if we believe what God done for us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God did it. God performed it. God had it to be. And it's His deliverance. It's His salvation. His gospel. His work given to those who would believe and trust Him, God the Father, what He did through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It always amazes me how folks say, well, I'm a Jesus man. I trust Jesus. They do everything. But they simply, in doing so, they're denying what God has done for them through Christ. Plus or minus nothing, no merit on our behalf, nothing we can do. And that's simply the grace wherein we stand. The world doesn't see it, and religion doesn't see it. I did a teaching the other night on Monday night, and I guess it's my feelings got worked up in me. You know, the religion is caught up in the obsession of going to church, of being there. They're caught up. It's an obsession, Brother Steve. Church, it's an obsession. And I went over several points there why that is an obsession on my experience of being around folks, of being around religious folks. But until you come to knowledge that God done this for you, and that the only way you can have eternal life, and which everyone talks about, is trusting what God done for you. He made you accept Him. You couldn't do it ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. He accepted us. In Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 1. I want to pick up the pace a little bit, but I don't want to run too fast. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says here, talking about the church, the body of Christ, established and ordained before the world began, the believer in the church. But in verse 6, how is this possible? How can we be saved as Ephesians 2? And how are we standing upon this grace as Paul talked about? Well, to the praise, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of God's grace, His grace, His unmerited favor, His work, the merits of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection in verse 6, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. God's accepted us in the beloved. And the beloved is Christ. And that's, how is that impossible? It's by the blood and the death of Christ. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go back to Romans 3 first, and let's go from there. Romans chapter 3, and I'll just read a few verses here. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. Romans 3 and 20. Paul says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, or be accepted, to made right, just like as he was never in the wrong. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, but now the righteousness of God, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them but believe, for there is no difference. Why? Because Paul says, but now, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in where? That is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely. Accepted, made right on your, not your condition or my condition, but on a condition that God laid down through His Son. The payment was made for sin and death and wrath and condemnation and for righteousness by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's by His death and His burial that, thank God, righteousness and reconciliation, and the, we pass from the law of condemnation to the gift of God, which is salvation by grace through faith. That's through His death and burial, by the shedding of blood. Not just any blood, but Christ's blood. Notice verse 25. Whom God has set forth, Christ, to be a propitiation, that's a satisfaction, through His blood, faith in His blood, declare His righteous for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Paul says, to declare, verse 26, I say, His righteousness, that He, God, might be just and the justifier of him which what? Believeth in Jesus. Whereas boasting then is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, someone will say, well, Brother Brian, we were never under law. This is Gentiles. You're exactly right. But nevertheless, the consequences of law in the sin still dealt with us death as it did with anybody from Genesis to Revelation. It still dealt with you. We didn't have ordinances, thank God. Not now. They did. But still sin equals death, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jew or Gentile like, it doesn't matter. It's still the same price for every man, woman, child, boy, and girl today. Amen? But it's a propitiation. God is satisfied with what He done. So we're standing upon this grace, this reconciliation work of God. And it's free. It's nothing in us. There's nothing in us to deserve this favor. There's nothing in us that we can do to satisfy God, to make Him accept us more than accepting us through His Son and what He done for you at Calvary. Now, that's just the basis of grace. There's no new revelation for us in this church sitting here. But it is a new revelation for the world. That is a new revelation for religious denominations out there today. That's a new revelation. Christ bought it and Christ paid for it. Notice all this grace has special regard to the blood of Christ. The work of Christ at the Calvary, at the cross, it has special regard to that. Look with me to Romans chapter 5. Notice these words in Romans 5. Romans 5, and I like to read verse 6, so we'll go down to verse number 9. Romans 6, we know, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, but yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's the blood of Christ that opens the door for God's grace and acceptance to come to sinners who were condemned by their sin to remove that debt, that condemnation of sin. It's the blood of Christ that removes that and allows God to come in by your faith in what Christ is and what he's done for you at Calvary and impute righteousness unto the believer. Then what does that mean? That just means God's counting you right. He counts the believer right. And he can only do that if he removes the sin and the sins that's on us. Romans 5 and 9, much more than being now justified by his blood. His blood removed the sin, and sin, the price of sin, what we are naturally, he removed that, and now the door is open for God to impute his righteousness to the believer. That's the reconciliation work of Calvary. And that is a mystery, if you will. That's something Paul brings out in this "but now" dispensation that we're in. And that's grace. What did you out there today, or me, or anyone else, have to do to earn that? Most everyone would agree, from the Catholic to the Church of God to anyone else, would say, well, we had nothing to do with that. But what they disagree on is, well, is this not enough? Well, it has to be enough, because there's nothing else you can do, and we're going to get there and show you in Scripture why it's what we're doing. Why not? See, it's by which God has made the atonement, if you put it together. So, verse number 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we're saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we're saved by his life, and all and so we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So God said it's finished as far as my work of grace and my salvation is finished work right now. I'm not counting sins against you or sin against the world today. I've made a way for you to be saved by just simply trusting what he done for you at Calvary. And that's what atonement means. He's happy with that. Say, you ain't got to please God. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to cry. You don't have to get on your knees and crawl. You don't have to come to altar. As I've seen so many, pray through. I've never heard a like in my life. Praying through for what? If you're justified by faith, you have peace with God through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. How is that possible? Because in Christ, God has made the way. He reconciled the world, paid the sin debt for the world, removed that enmity between us and him, took it out of the way, and here we are. What are you faced with then? You're faced with yourself and your conscience and the gift of God by the preaching of the cross. That's what you're faced with. And until you as an individual and you as a person could ever come to the knowledge today to know there's nothing else you can do and you're face to face with yourself and the cross of Calvary, what's God's worst done for you, you may never ever see the reason to trust that simply on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never do that. And God is satisfied. The atonement in verse 11, he's satisfied with it, and we're justified by his blood. He makes us accept, and moves that out of the way, and the door is open to come to God because of the reconciliation work at Calvary. And that's what makes grace possible. Not just any old grace, but truly the gift of God. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5, right? Reconciliation work of God. Because verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5 says, he made him to be sin for us. Who what? Knew no sin. That we, the believer, might be made the righteousness of God in him. God has done it. We're justified by His blood, God is satisfied with that work. Look with me to Romans 3 again. Paul says here in Romans 3, and I just love this verse, verse 26 in Romans 3. Paul would say this, he would say, to declare, I say, this time, His righteousness, God's righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Amen. God's justified. He's satisfied with that. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 8. Paul brings this out again in Romans 8. Some favorite verses I know of a lot of folks, and myself also. Look at verse 31, Romans 8. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, everybody's against us if we're on God's side. But Paul's talking about here about the work of the grace of God in Christ's work at Calvary, the death, burial, and resurrection. There's no, if He's above all principality and power in things present, things, if He's above all that, what is it left? Who is left to condemn you to say, you know what? You didn't believe in the right thing. You didn't do the right thing. You didn't say the right thing. You didn't trust the right person. If God's above all, and He is, amen, then what are you worried about? Anybody can be against you. Trust me, they're against me right now. I see it every day, all the time. Why? Because I simply trust the gospel that I have nothing to do with it. There's those who fight against that, and I don't really know if they really understand that they're fighting against it. Now look at Romans 8. Paul says, verse 31, why shall we say these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and we know that all now, according to Revelation, we know all now, it's us too, amen? For us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Here's verse 33. Who shall lay anything to charge God's elect? It is God that what? It's God that justifies. If God says you're right by what He's done for you, who's to say you're wrong? Who's to say you're wrong? I love what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. For the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that comes by grace. I can walk around today because of the grace of God, trust in the gospel, and say, I'm saved. I have eternal life, and there is nothing you, the devil, the world, or anyone else can do about that. I'm happy. I'm free. I'm not bound by ordinances of men or religious identities. I'm not bound by my conscience. I'm not bound by my heart. I'm bound by belief and trust in God, who says He done it all for you by the merits of Christ at Calvary. Because I realize there's no other way. There's nothing else could justify me in the eyes of God but faith in His Son and what He's done for me. It's simple as that. Now, this is in spite of who we are. This grace and what God's done for us, it's in spite of who we are. It's in spite of what you are. It's in spite of what you've done, what you are, what you think. He doesn't count it against no one today. And that's my opinion. I'll leave that to Brother Steve to get on that. But he's not holding that against no one today. He's done removed that sin. Look here. He's done cleaned the debt. Amen. Right, Brother Steve, you agree? Amen. He cleared the debt at Calvary. Gone. Now you can get on board and you ain't got to stumble across nothing. Man. He did that by the cross. And by grace. In spite of who we are, in spite of what we are, in spite of what we've done, and with that, notice with that, the privileged race, the privileged nation of Israel is cast aside also because of the preaching of the cross, because of the grace of God, because of the gospel of the grace of God, because of this gospel. Yeah, He died for our sins, according to Scripture, was buried and rose again the third day, according to Scripture. There is no privileged person or nation today, Jew or Gentile alike, are all under sin, and he has mercy upon all because He paid the debt for all. Man, stunned. He took care of that. You know, the only religion God ever instituted in the history of mankind is the one He gave to Israel, and starting with Exodus 19 and forward, the law. It's the only one. That's the only one. Ever. Ever He ever instituted, that's it. And so if he removes that and removes Israel's privileged position, then there has to be something else, because in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 3, 4, and 5, God would have all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth, for there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's what happened. That's God would have you to be saved. Any status that you had is set aside. Any status the nation of Israel had is set aside. Therefore, it's not of works. Amen? It's not but not of works. Nothing that you can do. It's pure, unadulterated grace of God. Unmerited favor of God by His grace. And that's what the cross did. That's the justified by His blood. Reconciled by His cross. He's made atonement for us all. And He's made the believer the righteousness. In other words, He makes you right to come into what? Eternal life into heaven itself. And I just love that teaching, how to be justified and how to get to heaven. I just love that. Just love that. And so that's it. There's nothing else we can do. And I love the example Paul gives of Abraham. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. I'll read just a few verses here. Romans 4, 1. So Paul says, "Why shall we say then that Abraham our father is pain in the flesh hath found?" Well, we know Abraham's not our father in the flesh, but we still understand this progressive revelation, this righteousness is imputed, which is, it has to be imputed. It doesn't matter if it's before law, after law, or now. The only way people are made right in God's eyes is that God counts you right. And He does that by your faith in Christ. Abraham, "For if Abraham," verse 2, "were justified by works, he hath wherewith glory before God." Glory, but what? Not before God. Abraham couldn't glory in what he did. He couldn't glory in going to Mount Moriah with his son Isaac. He couldn't glory, "Hey, you know what I did? What'd you do for God today?" "Well, I left everybody I knew and just went where God told me to go." He can't glory in that, though he did, didn't he? He can't glory in that. God says, "Okay, well." Unless God encountered him righteous, it wouldn't matter. Look at Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis 15, it's interesting to me, Brother Steve and other youth teachers, how if you want to know the ending, you've got to start with the beginning. Genesis has seemed like it's just rich with everything in type. And in the actuality of the word, Genesis 15. Look at Genesis chapter 15. Verse number 5. "And he brought Abram into a forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if I am able to number them. He said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted him for righteousness." So there Abraham believed God and God counted, he imputed his righteousness to him, Abraham. It's not of works. It's he believed God. And now, see that, notice this is before the law. He counted Abraham righteous before the law came down. And now in Romans 4 and in Paul's 13 epistles, he counts us righteous by believing in Christ and what he done for you after the law. Abraham wasn't justified by works before the law, and today when the law is done away with and by the body of Christ, he counts you righteous by believing in Christ, what He done for you at Calvary. That's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness, but us which are saved, it is the power of God." That's why he can say that. And that's why we glory in that cross, not just any cross, but the cross of Christ. And we can say with Abraham, he counted us righteous, not because of who we are or what we done. We just simply believe. Abraham, listen. Abraham believed God. He was going to give him a seed and everything else. And God says, "I count you righteous." And we today, we believe God because He said that He died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day. Christ done that. We believe God. You believe God in what He done for you by the gospel of the grace of God, by the gospel, how He died, buried, and rose again the third day. Well, guess what? God counts you righteous. Abraham said, "I believed in the Lord. I believe you're going to give me a seed. I believe you're going to do all that you said. God says, hey, Abraham. Or Abraham, you're righteous. I count you right. It's because you believe me. And guess what we're doing when we believe the gospel of the grace of God? What are we doing? What are you saying? What's the number one thing you're saying? You believe God. I believe God. When you trespass God, I believe God. That's what you're saying. What are you saying if you don't believe that gospel? What's the opposite of belief? What? Unbelief. I don't believe God. That's what that's saying. That's what that's saying. I heard a gentleman, Morgan Freeman, I asked him one time, said, Morgan Freeman, are you a man of God? You know, he has a lot to say about God. And he says, no, I'm not a man of God. I'm just a man of faith. That didn't mean nothing. A man of faith? God's not going to count you right, save you, because you're a person of faith. You're saved because you believe in the merits of Christ and what God done for you. Remember, God was in Christ. What was He doing? Reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed us the word of reconciliation. When you believe what God said, God says, I'll count you right. I'll save you, and in biblical terms, means eternal life. Means, Romans 5 and 9, He delivers you from the wrath of God. Why? Because He laid it upon His Son. Not us, on Him. And so that's all we're doing. Someone would say, well, Abram did this and did that. He may have done this and did that. But the Bible says in Romans 4, for if Abraham was justified by works, he had word of glory, but not before God. His faith, he believed what God said and what He was going to do for him through His Son, through His seed, which he had not yet received. And so we believe what God's done for you, us, and which we have not seen either. Have you seen the cross of Calvary? No. Were you there when He was lifted up and cried, "It is finished"? Nope. Did you see the tomb empty that they laid Him in? Nope. Did you see Him with Mary and Martha in the garden? Nope. Were you there when He showed up for the disciples the first time in the book of John? Nope. Were you on the seashore when He showed up? Nope. But here's the thing. No one could see that Christ was paying the debt of sin. Nobody. Until Paul preached it. And he says, God said that He made Him to be sin for us. And what do you... Well, I believe what God said. And that was what... Let's go Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 2 and 16. We're going to I'll read verse 16, Galatians 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law there shall no flesh be justified. See that? Nothing. Only one religion could justify, even had a chance of pleasing God. And that was the religion He gave to the Jewish nation. Now look at Galatians 3. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law on the side of justified. You're not pleasing God. You're not just as if you never sin. He's not counting you right. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. You see that? You do it, live, that's the law. Basically, you do, you bless, you don't, you curse. That's the religion Israel had set up. But because we're justified by His blood, and the grace of God preached today by the merits of Christ at Calvary, there is no religion. There's nothing you can do. Well, let's look at Galatians 3. Look, Galatians 3 verse 21. Galatians 3 verse 21. Is the law against, then against the promises of God? Paul says, God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could give in life, verily righteousness should have been what? By the law. So there's one religion of law that's done away with, Romans 6 and 4, for you're dead to the law by the what? Body of Christ, there's his death. Okay? There's his death. The body of Christ, the death. Okay? So Paul says here that no one is justified in the law. If there could have been a law given, which could have made righteous, what would it have been by? It would have been by the law given to Israel. That's the only, if it even could come even close to it, that would have been it. And so my thought is today, when you look at the grace message and the grace we stand, we know the law is done away with, Israel is done away with, their priority, their people as a nation. So you making up something as a person today, trying to come up with faith plus works, whether it's some baptisms, whether it's some ordinances someone makes up, that's not going to get the job done either. Because if Paul, if the religion that Israel was given in verse 21 of Galatians 3 can't do it, then your made up religion, the things you make up, is not going to do it either. It brings condemnation. And that's what religion and denominations can't figure out. You go to any local assembly, there's always something there to be done. How many times have I had this conversation? How many times have I tried to teach grace and talk about that with individuals? How many times? They're all stuck in their tradition. They can see the cross, but they can't accept the cross. You're like all those when Christ is crucified, passing by, wagging their heads. Just another criminal dying. Right? Someone done something wrong. Well, he didn't do anything wrong. He died for our wrongs. God made him to be sin. And God removed that because there we're redeemed. And we're not just redeemed. We're not just bought. Did you know that? We're forgiven. Of what? By all sins and trespasses. That's the hang up today. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." He didn't stop there, did he? Even the forgiveness of sins. In Colossians 1:13, Paul says the same thing. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In Colossians 2:13, he says there, he's forgiven us all trespasses. Because the blood of Christ and the grace of God and the preaching of the cross and the atonement that Paul preached. Now justification by his blood means it absolutely has to be forgiveness of all sins and trespasses. There can't not be one on you for God to make you right and to count you righteous just by your faith. It has to be bought and paid for and done away with. And that's a lot to take in, ain't it? I can see the minds moving now. It should be. Don't ever take my word for it. Ever. You got your Bible, read it. Now, I don't mean pull a commentary off the shelf. Man. So he removes, because what does Paul say in Romans 4? Remember, he was saying there that Abraham was just counted righteous in the eyes of God. Was he not? But he doesn't stop there, does he? In verse 2, for Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherein glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted him to righteousness. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. See, it's a comma there. He's still going on. Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are what? Covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, if he'd removed the sin, then it's opened the way because the preaching of the cross and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in him, what he's done for you, counts it as righteousness in God's eyes because Christ didn't do part of it. What'd he do? He done all of it. And that's the grace wherein we stand. We don't stand here and maybes and could be's and should be's. I like to's and want to's. And boy, I hope it happens. I hope I go to heaven. I hope I'm saved. No, we are standing upon the merits of Christ and what God said that He'd do for anyone who would trust Him by His Son. That's what you're standing on, because God said it. And that's where right division comes. Dispensational teaching, sound dispensational teaching, and understanding progressive revelation in your King James Bible, that only increases your faith and understand what God did then is different than He's doing now. Because if you look at it, it's math, as I always say. 2 + 2 = 4. If you don't understand dispensational teaching, see the difference in gospels and ages, the dispensation of grace, 3 + 2 = 7. They'll all put it into one big old barrel, mix it up, and say, well, there it is. Drink it all. And phew, it's not very good. Then you wonder why there's confusion, because they're missing this truth, this thing here. And look at Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, Paul says this. In Galatians 5, verse 1, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is there to do the whole law. So Paul is saying circumcision is keeping the law. Some law, right? It's in your Bible. Okay. He says, Christ has become no effect in you whosoever you're justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. So then, as is now, if you're justified by any kind of work at all, whatever you want to mix into it, then grace is no good to you. You've fallen from grace. Because that's the only way God's paid your debt, and that's the only way you can be saved. It's the only way. And today we're not hearing the ordinances and things. We're complete in Christ because of the grace of God, and He's removed all those things out of our way and points us towards Calvary and the gospel of the grace of God. And that's the grace wherein we stand. God justified me. God saved me. God sealed me in Ephesians 1:13 and verse 14, Ephesians 4:30 and 32. He sealed me. And now I have an inheritance, and now I have ages to come, and I'm sitting in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 2 and 6. Why? How is that possible? It's because God seen it done. Let's go to Colossians 2 and we'll stop. This is the results. Colossians 2. Look at verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath now He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. How do He reconcile you? The body of His death. His death is important to the gospel. Because by His death, the debt was paid, and God said, I'm satisfied with it. The atonement's been made. Let me ask you, do you believe Christ died? That's not very hard to believe. Everyone dies. Do you know anybody right now that's walking around that's lived forever? Down here in His flesh? No. Well, He died. He rose again. Some would even dare say that He rose again. Right? That could be an argument. A lot of religions, a lot of people, well, yeah, resurrection is possible, right? But how about this? That He paid the sin debt on Calvary. You didn't see that. Them people there didn't see that. But God says it to be so. And what did you do? All we did was believe it. That's the grace wherein you stand. Believing what God done for you through Calvary. Believing that. And saying, God said it. So I believe it. And that's the basis of this gospel. Amen. God bless you. Take care of yourself. And let me say, the most important thing in your life, as I always in every broadcast that I'm on, it's not where you go to school, it's not who you marry, it's not your bank account, not your insurance, it's not where you live. The most important thing is that you know you have eternal life, meaning that you are saved. Trust Christ today. God said He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And by that, all that believed are justified and saved. How about you? Can you say that today? Without any doubt, without any reservation, can you say that today? God bless you. Take care of yourself. Thank you, Brother Steve.